This podcast replay is brought to you by RedRecover.com. From NFL stars like Hayden Hurst to daily warriors like yourself, their wraps and pads are designed to deliver maximum benefits with each treatment anywhere you go.
And welcome to the rare afternoon, early evening edition of RedRecover.com Inside the Paint. Today, Kurt is well rested out there. Kurt Heelan from Pro Basketball Talk and NBCSports.com out there in LA didn't have to get up at the crack of dawn. The dog has probably been walked and fed by now, so everyone should be in better shape out there. He's in LA. I'm Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. I'm up here in Portland, where the Heat are going to play the Blazers tonight. And I guess because of the timing a little bit, Kurt, I have some news. Usually I'm just waking up like you are and starting our show typically on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. Into the Heat shoot-around today, Omer Yurtseven is with the Heat traveling, but both Eric Spoelstra and Omer said probably still a week away. He hurt his ankle in the preseason opener against Minnesota, said it was hurting a little bit in the Bahamas, so he won't be on this trip. Back for the Heat after their suspension, Caleb Martin and Nikola Jovic, they missed Monday's game against the Toronto Raptors, so they're back in the mix. And Victor Oladipo is still in the wind, and I will get into that with Kurt a little bit more as we go on. Still that knee issue, opposite knee from his surgical knee. He is not out here with the Miami Heat. So a little bit of Heat news today. Martin and Jovic, glad to be back. Jovic hasn't played yet this season. So I sort of want to get the man who does the rankings and knows the league and sort of talking all around the league. I find it interesting because a lot of people have done power rankings, look at the Miami Heat 1-3 record, and some still have them high because they do more of a overall season projection. Others simply go by the moment and the Heat's down at number 24 or something like that because they've had a really crappy opening week. So Kurt Heelan from Pro Basketball Talk and NBCSports.com, when you look at the 1-3 Heat, are you looking at them through a prism of a team that is in trouble or of a team that's just played four games and will find its way?
More the latter. Like, there are concerning stuff out of the – I mean, the defense not being – elite and being able to carry this team from day one is a little concerning. The offense, I kind of figured the offense will find its way, but the defense has always been the anchor for this franchise, and it's been okay. Actually, I mean, you've seen the numbers probably. It's really actually great when Bam Adebayo is on the court, but the second he steps off, that defense really struggles, and that's a tough way to go. Like, they've got to find a way to get some stops while he's out and keep games in touch, especially against, like you said, the Warriors are their own story, but it's a really good Portland team right now that's full of confidence and playing really well. So, yeah, I think they figure it out, but we've talked about this, Ira. The West is deep. The East is ridiculously deep. Yes. And if you stumble out of the gate and you get to 1-2 and 6 or something, it just becomes harder and harder to make that ground up the farther you go. You can't let these – this year in particular, you can't let the early stumbles last.
Yeah, and you know what? Especially when you have a team with persnickety players. There, I said persnickety. And Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry, where I think it festers with guys like that. They don't like losing. I'm not saying they're looking to turn and blame others when certainly Kyle can look inward with the way he played over the first week. But it started building on itself. So you have the Blazers tonight, 4-0, good start. Damian Lillard looks healthy again. Anthony Simons all of a sudden making us realize why they let CJ McCollum go, that this guy is the next wave for Portland. So he's playing well. The backcourt, whether it was a McCollum and Lillard backcourt or now what they have, still a top scoring backcourt. Tomorrow, Golden State, I think we all know who the Warriors are. I'm not worried about the losses to Denver or Phoenix. They're the Golden freaking State Warriors. They still have a death line every time they take the court. Then Saturday, the Heat concludes this trip against the Sacramento Kings, who thought they were going to be better, still looking for their first win, but obviously that's a home game for them also. So I want to sort of get to a little bit of the root cause of why the Heat are 1-3. And so many of my readers of the Sun Sentinel have pointed in this direction. Kurt, you pointed it at the start of the season also. We tried to give logic and reason to the loss of P.J. Tucker, to the small lineup. Caleb Martin has started three of the games at power forward. Then Max Strus, formerly known as a shooting guard, started basically in place of Caleb Martin in the Monday loss to Toronto. The league isn't necessarily big, and teams that are playing big aren't necessarily thriving. But Kurt, over an 82-game season, is going this small a losing proposition?
Usually just because the best teams combine skill and a little bit of size. You look at the easy example is Boston, where they can roll out two wings who are, off the top of my head, 6'5 and 6'7, whatever they are.
Right.
It becomes hard to go small against the best teams, and it does physically wear on you after a while. I mean, it's a bump and grind season, and it kind of depends on the person. Some guys, Kyle Lowry, he's had his injury issues lately, but like built like a tank. Like he's able to absorb some of this more than other guys. But eventually I think it does wear. I still think you need a certain amount of size and bulk. And I don't mean like it's time to roll Mark Eaton back out there, but like you need a certain amount of size and bulk.
I know you're going old school on us. And yet I think when I look at Dwayne Dedman, it's like as if we have Mark Eaton at his current age right now. I think Mark Eaton passed. Matter of fact, I got to be careful. I don't want to be that guy. So, yeah, I think I'm going to leave that one alone. Okay, what I'm saying is Dwayne Dedman, and I will leave it just as that, right now is struggling. And when he comes in with the second unit, so you can say go bigger, but there's only three ways that he can go bigger. That he can go bigger, you know you're playing Bam Adebayo. They could play Bam and Omer Yurtseven together. Well, right now, Omer Yurtseven's out with the ankle injury. Like I said at the top of our redrecover.com inside the paint, probably not till next week when the Warriors visit next Tuesday. You can play Bam and Dwayne Dedman together, but you can't because it's hard enough for Dwayne to be a center, let alone him switching a little bit with Bam Adebayo. He doesn't have the mobility. Or you can play Bam and Nikola Jovic together. But again, you're talking about a 19-year-old playing alongside 36-year-old Jimmy Butler, 36-year-old Kyle Lowry, and 33-year-old Jimmy Butler, who might not have the patience for a kid either. So you're sort of coming back to the Caleb Martin or bust type of approach. To me, this is more roster construction. And folks, I know it, and Zachary, you've already chimed in here in our YouTube chat board. I agree the Heat are undersized. I think the Heat knew they were undersized. I think the Heat thought they can come up with a style that can compensate by their saying crash the boards and all that. And yet what you've seen over the first few games, because the Heat are trying to crash the boards, especially the offensive boards, the other team's off to the races. They're not covering the backcourt. It's not two back on the release anymore. It's trying to make up for something. So, Kurt, what I think happens is this stuff starts building and building and building on itself. Because when you play small in one position, you're asking your small forward, your shooting guard, your point guard to get more involved on the boards. God bless him, Tyler Herro did the other day, tied his career high with his 15 rebounds. But if you're asking Tyler Herro to be your leading rebounder, you're probably playing at a deficit in the first place anyway. So issue number one for the Heat, I think, is playing small, whether they can figure it out. Issue number two, and I've written a few stories about this in the Sun Sentinel, and to his credit, Kyle Lowry was very candid after the game. Anthony Chang, the Miami Herald, and myself were the only ones who waited him out when he was dressing and said, basically, he has to be better. It's not working right now. Kurt, and again, I'm putting you on the spot. I don't like when people do this to me also. So I'll let you think about it as I finish the question. Older players who have struggled, some of them do hit an expiration date. And you realize they're just not the same players. Other players change their game. Chris Paul is the perfect example. And becomes what you need and makes up with it with his savvy, what maybe he doesn't have in the athleticism. From the limited sample size we've seen of Kyle Lowry, two okay games, two absolutely awful games so far to this point, should we be concerned about Kyle Lowry at 36, or is he sort of part of the wave of smart enough to figure it out point guards?
I think he's smart enough to figure it out. I think the question is more, is he willing to accept it? Is he willing to accept the limitations that he's kind of under now and who he is as a player and adjust to that? For some of these guys, and look, he missed obviously a ton of time last season, so the physical side is there, but it's more mental, right? It's more, I was watching the Laker-Clipper game the opening night, and it's like, hey, here's John Wall. He looks explosive. By the way, happy to come off the bench, keep a limited role. Let me just do what I want to do, but fit me in, as opposed to Russell Westbrook's not fitting in. And that's a whole other conversation. But I think you see that in a lot of places. Is Kyle ready to accept that, Ira?
You know, I think Kyle is ready to accept everything now that he has his 3-year, $85 million contract. I think he's willing to be anything to anyone because he cashed in. And I don't mean that he's quitting on it because he had his contract. Yeah. But I think Kyle realizes, I don't want to phrase it exactly this way, but this sort of is his final resting place, that this is his last big deal. This is going to be the end of it. No one's going to come up with one more deal at 38 years old. So he should be that. He's also very stubborn. The other part of it is, and I want to get into this, and C. Dalla brought this up just now on our chat board also, I think it's been harder for Jimmy and Kyle and Bam because Tyler Hero's in the starting lineup. Now, you might say to me, whoa, Ira, you're an idiot. And plenty of people can say that and go on the chat board if you want. But Tyler has put up numbers that show he's played well and deserves the starting role. But, Kurt, what I posit to you is this, and you've seen this on some Laker teams and other teams, sometimes concentrated talent in a lineup is not necessarily the best way to go. And sometimes when you have too many mouths to feed, those who go hungry wind up being lesser players. Tyler likes himself a shot. Tyler Hero is not shy about shooting the ball. Tyler Hero will do some of those Damian Lillard 28-foot pulls when he feels the moment. Well, that means fewer, whatever grammar you want to use, opportunities for Bam Adebayo, for Kyle Lowry, and for Jimmy Butler. The reason I'm bringing this up is I think it relates to Kyle Lowry for this reason. Kyle's fine with that. He played off the ball when Toronto won a 2019 championship with Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam and, of course, Kawhi Leonard taking the majority of shots. But what this team needs is Tyler being that Tyler and Kyle being the best version of Kyle. And I don't know if I can get that, if they can get that in the starting lineup. So, Kurt, I know you don't coach NBA teams, but in your columns, you've coached them. So I'll throw it to you this way. From what you know about NBA strategy, but more than that, what you know about NBA ego, is there any way, if the Heat lose tonight, 1-4, if the Heat lose tomorrow, I'm not being negative, folks, I'm just saying in case, hypothetical, lose tomorrow to Golden State, which is probable, you know, 1-5, something like that. Is there a point that Eric Spoelstra can go to Tyler Hero and going, hey, you were sixth man of the year. We got off to a much better start last year. We need to reset this thing. Is that doable? Or sort of once Tyler has tasted the forbidden fruit of starting, is it a completely different situation and a completely different Tyler?
I think that depends player to player. Like you can, what does Eric Spoelstra do? We invite him into his office and say, I'd like you to look at these Manu Ginobili clips. Like, I don't know how you, like some guys are willing to accept that role. And you might know better than I about Tyler's personality, but much like you mentioned about Kyle Lowry, Tyler's got his payday. He's not fighting for the starting spot and doing this now to get a bigger payday. He's locked in at a really nice price over the next, you know, he will be well compensated over the next 5 years.
Yeah, I just,
is he comfortable or is it still an ego thing? And I'm just talking to you, my vibe is more the latter.
Yeah, I think it is. Tyler wants to be the it thing. He wants to be the one. He wants to be noticed. He has the swag every time he walks into the arena. And the Heat make sure they show that swag, you know, on the team's Instagram and Twitter and social media accounts because they know it matters to him. He wants to be up front. He wants the cameras to pan the starters and for him to be out there. It's important for him. The Heat knew it's important for him. And let's face it, the Heat gave him a $130 million contract so that he could be that player. So I just think it's a very fine line right now. But I think if you also want Bam Adebayo to get up a bunch of shots, 15, 17, he says that 18 shot range, and you don't want to take the ball out of Jimmy Butler's hand, I think it's getting very difficult for me to slice up that pie chart. And the only way I can do it is to slice out Kyle Lowry's portion of the pie chart. And you paid him $85 million over three seasons. I need him to be more than part-time facilitator and guy who leads to the pass that leads to the pass and getting hockey assists. I didn't pay Kyle Lowry for hockey assists. I paid him to be the general to get the team the best possible shots, not to help other guys create their own offense. So I thought from the get-go they were stuck there. And I thought from the start it just didn't work. I know you had to pay him. I know you can't give up talent. I know we both sit here and I think we'd agree. Eric Spoelstra, great coach. He will figure it out. And I agree with that. But you still can see in this rotation, and here's why I bring this up, Kurt. You need more than five players to win an NBA game. you have to get something off of your bench as well. Oh, yeah. Now, you don't know that covering the Lakers because they barely have more than two players, but most no. NBA teams, but you need
Philadelphia right now. Yeah.
Philadelphia is another bench. Thing. You can talk about Daniel House all you want and things like that, but you need a little bit more.
Right.
So the point is, when you look at this Heat second unit with Tyler not in there and with Victor Oladipo not in there, who are the shot creators? I mean, if you're playing Gabe Vincent as your point guard, if you're playing Duncan Robinson and you're playing Max Strus, maybe you're throwing in some Hayward Highsmith and your Dwayne Dedman. I mean, okay, let's stop for a second because I want to get perspective here, okay? I'm going to give you a starting lineup, a lineup that the Heat could go to with their second unit, okay? Dwayne Dedman, Hayward Highsmith, Duncan Robinson, Max Strus, and Gabe Vincent. That's a lottery team, isn't it? That's a G League team, isn't it? And that's what the Heat are throwing out. I know they cycle through guys, but when you're talking about a quote-unquote bench right now, is that anything, let alone is it enough? And if not you, the dog can answer also. So either one can answer that one.
It really doesn't matter what time of day we do this. The dog is going to just run through the house, apparently.
And you know what? And until you get him the redrecover.com dog treatment, I think there's a reason why. But
yeah, exactly.
Let's go back to the question.
That is not a great lineup because you don't have shot creation and you don't have lockdown defense either. But like, you've got you've got guys who can knock down shots. You've got Strus and guys who can get you points. But who's, unless you're running some sort of Quinn Snyder Utah system, how are you generating the looks? Miami does have its system, but it doesn't generate that kind of ball movement.
Well, Kurt, let me phrase it to you this way. Dwayne Dedman, Hayward Highsmith, Duncan Robinson, Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, four shots left on the shot clock. You throw it to someone and you tell us, get us a hoop or get a free throw. Who?
Duncan, I guess. I mean,
yes, he's trying to get to the rim. Maybe Max Strus, he plays with force. It's probably going to wind up Vincent. So as we end this segment, I want to bring up one last thing that I think ties this all together. Actually, it's a two-pronged question. How long do you wait on Victor Oladipo? And the reason I ask is this. I could see Heat fans out there. I see it on the chat board. You can go, enough of this guy. Ira, the guy never plays. We have to move on. And then Ira tells you, but they gave him 2 years at $18 million, and they ain't getting a rebate on that either. So, Kurt, when you get in this situation, you've seen this like with a lot of teams. Should the Miami Heat continue to count on Victor Oladipo? Can the Heat count on Victor Oladipo?
We're four games into the season. It is too early to just chuck everything out. You've got to stick with your plan a little bit and see, and you're banking on Oladipo giving you that bench help. Unless they have inside information, I think you've got to wait a little bit. I think you're comfortable. Should they though? Pretty soon they've got to start looking around and figuring out what their other options are, whether that's bringing Tyler off the bench or if it's some other move. You're going to have to find that bench scoring and extra shot creation because right now you just don't have it. It's kind of Jimmy and Tyler and occasionally Lowry with the front unit.
Which is why after the break on Inside the Paint brought to you by RedRecover.com, we'll talk about trade items, trade issues. Chris Haynes reported on the Jay Crowder situation last night on TNT's national telecast. As Kurt knows, out there in Lakerland, there's a rumor du jour every day out there. I want to throw in another one from Miami Heat perspective, so we'll see what's going on. So for all of you who are online and have the split screen, go to your trade machine. We'll throw some of those out there after this break on RedRecover.com, Inside the Paint.